writing to us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're continuing our series on He Gave Gifts. And what my wife and I are noticing is that there's just a rise of faith in this place and a rise of faith online, and we're seeing the miraculous take place beyond Sunday services. But we are excited about leading our congregation and leading our church into a contextual, balanced approach of how to operate with the flow of Holy Spirit. I believe that there were certain errors that were seen with what we are calling charismania, or the extreme of the charismatic movement, that have caused people to move away from actually operating with Holy Spirit. And so we're laying the bedrock foundation that we're going to build upon. In the coming year, my wife and I will be doing weekly Bible study teachings on every gift in every office of the Holy Spirit to fully explicate, or as full as we can, so that you can have an understanding of the gift that is within you. But the first week, we established that Holy Spirit is for all. You don't have to be one of the fivefold ministry gifts, or you don't have to pray 36 hours. You don't have to suffer, tarry, wait, or delay. Holy Spirit wants to operate in and through your life wherever and however. Lord, I heard Maxwell, wherever you are, amen. And last week, my wife did a phenomenal job. I was just blown away on the perfect gift of Holy Spirit. Every time, I've listened to her message about four different times, and each time I listened to her message, there was another facet I just began chewing on, and she showed how Holy Spirit is the perfect gift today. Well, we're going to today add another component, and then online next week, we're going to release a message from the both of us that will kind of be the finale of this introduction of the gifts of the Spirit. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, it says, "So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." Let's continue to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." We're going to continue part three of He Gave Gifts with the message entitled Gifts Wrapped in Love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, during this time, you endeavor to share your heart, to share your love with the world that is around us. But today, you're going to have us look within. You're going to have us take inventory on the most important facet of our walk with you, and that is our love walk. Right now, Father, there's a ground of the heart that is here, some stony, some rough, some with shallow soil, and some good. But we're saying that we're open for you to share with us your love so that we can share with others during this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says and types in, amen, amen. Gifts wrapped in love. I want to start this message by giving a shout out to my mother. My father passed when my brother and I were 9 years old. And prior to my father passing, what we learned at a later time is that my mother would actually give my father, because they were divorced, money in order to get us Christmas gifts so that she would help him to not look like a father that couldn't do for his kids. And my mother was a single mother working to provide for two boys. She put us in private school our entire life, worked extremely hard. And Christmas, she always made Christmas special for us. But one thing about my family is we don't care about wrapping no presents. Listen, she was saying, huh, here you go. This is, I got this for you. And we did not care because life was great all year long. And the fact that she was working and got us amazing gifts, we didn't care what kind of package they came in because our family is, it's the thought that counts. So I get married. And I want to do it big for my wife because I absolutely love her and want to go out of my way and making Christmas special for her. And so I show up with what she wants, but the way it came out the store was the way that I wanted to give it to her. And she was appreciative, but she just would have wished I took a little time to even stop by the booth in the mall and had them wrap the gift for presentation. I had to understand that there was a difference of background between how we had Christmas and how my wife's family has Christmas. To this day, my wife's family, Miss Betty, Mr. Derek, their house could be right now on HGTV and win awards for Christmas time. There were times when they had Ashley around living with them that they would get out on the roof and put up lights and all type of ornaments and inflatables and had their house looking like Callaway Gardens in Brandon, Mississippi. Inside the house, it looked like Winter Wonderland or Santa's Workshop everywhere that you go. If you want a tree to sing, the tree will sing. If you want a white tree, you got a white tree. If you want a pink tree, you got a pink tree. If you want a regular tree, you got a regular tree. With a 5-foot Santa and a nutcracker that is surrounding everything, they do it big for Christmas. So what I had to learn is, although I had gifts, if I wanted to make the most impact, I needed to learn how to wrap them and present them well. And so what happens in church is people with bad attitudes and they operate in the gifting, they make you think that you have to receive this gift without love. And it's a calling card for the world, and it seems to me, and seemeth to me, some of the most anointed folks I know had the worst attitudes around. But I believe that here at the Outlet Community, if we get an opportunity to lay down some foundation, when we operate in the gifts, it should be wrapped with true love. This is why we operate. This is why we flow. Is so that God's love can be seen. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. New Living Translation says, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised." Here's the key I want you all to focus in on. What's important is faith expressing itself in love. I actually like the New King James a rendition of this better in that last part because it says faith works by love, or faith is energized by love. There is a connection between high levels of faith and high levels of love. And the love is not based in our love, because in order to get born again, we needed faith. But when we were not a part of the Christian faith, we didn't have the God kind of love that energizes faith. It was God's love toward us. And when we saw that we too could be part of God's family and that he wasn't holding our past against us and that he sent Jesus to die before we ever knew him in hopes that we would accept him because he's given us free choice, our hearts open up and say, "God, I received that." So when you know how much you're loved, that's when you exercise real faith. So anytime you have doubts, and this is the society that we're living in, a lot of the behaviors that you're seeing are based in fear, but their fruit are offsprings and behaviors of different sorts. The society that we're in is a fear-based society. And fear happens, according to 1 John chapter 4, because people don't know how much God loves them. And I hate to say it, as a church, we haven't done a good job of actually teaching the love of God. We've a lot of times taught our insecurities and wrapped that in Scripture. So we've got to teach God's love, and God's love is far beyond anything our minds could comprehend. In fact, God is more patient than any of us would even consider being. How do I know that? If you get your cell phone out and you start to take a selfie, you'll see his perfect example of how patient he really is. Some of y'all, he's been dealing with you for years, decades, and he ain't opened up the earth and swallowed you yet. That is patience. And when you're reminded of how much he loves you, even in the toughest times, you don't let go to your confidence and your trust in him. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, very familiar. It's what people put on billboards and with megaphones and shout out outside of major sporting venues. Back in 2020, we had the wonderful opportunity of going down to Orlando, Florida for a Citrus Bowl. And after major bowl games, you got these Christians with these picket signs and these all this other stuff. And they're just yelling and they're just screaming. And y'all, I like to have fun with them. So they said, "You're going in that game full of sinners. You're going to hell." I said, "Oh, no, I'm going to hell." I shouldn't have did it, but I enjoyed it. judge yourself, all right? But that is what people think when it comes to Christianity. And when you see the John 3:16, it's used as a means of what it doesn't really say. In John 3:16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave." So his love promoted him to give. But here is the depth of his gift. At the time he gave, it was his one and only son. There was not a warehouse of Jesus waiting in the event he didn't get his son back. But he looked at you and I, cosmos, the entire world, the entire planet, you specifically, and said, "He's worth it. She's worth it. They're worth it. What can I give that I can't get back so that I could get the hearts of them? Let me think. I'm going to bankrupt my entire plan as an investment for the chance that they would choose me." See, love energizes faith. God, get this, had faith in you. We don't teach it like this. You got to have faith in God. Only reason why I can have faith in God is because he first had faith in me. Only reason I can love God is because 1 John chapter 4, he first loved me. I don't know why we got off from this. So here's one thing about love being the catalyst of faith. Number one, love will cause you to give of yourself sacrificially. Love will call you to give of yourself sacrificially. Within the last 2 weeks, something remarkable has happened to my wife and I that we hadn't had in almost 8 months. We've been getting full nights of sleep. Hey. Hey. Thank you. I didn't know it was coming back. I thought those days were long. Long gone, baby. And let me tell you, you don't like an interrupted sleep pattern. What was a nap for months on end? But even though it was a sacrifice to get up, we loved getting up. Love will cause you to give of yourself sacrificially. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. I want to show you what happens when love is the first priority versus trying to be gifted. Your first priority is to grow in your love walk. The gift is subsequent. I can't stand no bad attitude gifted person. It's like you're representing love. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And this is where Jesus heals a man with leprosy. I want you all to notice something. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus. He begging to be healed. If you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Verse 41, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him, and he said, I am willing, be healed. Verse 42, instantly, compassion moved him. He reached out, he touched him. He's healed, and instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. That is a miracle. So love being the catalyst of faith, the second thing about love being the catalyst of faith is that love will cause you to believe for the miraculous. And so I realized that the more you fall in love with the heart of God, God's heart will transform your heart and your desires will line up with his desires. That's why in Psalm it says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. It's relational. Any person in a relationship, ever start watching what the person you were in a relationship with, they enjoy, but you initially didn't enjoy. Babe, what was that movie where the guy at the end, if you ain't see it, spoiler alert, he died with Zoe Saldana in it? From Scratch. I was like, what you watching? Get out of here. Oh, no, another sappy love story. What is this? I can't do this. Last episode. I said, no, he waited. Oh. As you spend time in delighting in the things that the person that you love delights in, their desires become your desires. And what happens is people get so mad at God because they feel like my desire didn't come to pass. But God never said he would give you the desires that you thought of. He started off by saying, if you delight in me, then I will give you the desires. What happens is he's excellent in getting us to buy in. But you don't understand that the first contingency to that is delighting in him first. When you say, God, I want what you want in my life, then God says, then I can give you the desires of your heart. Because at the same time, and this is not in my notes, but this is really good. In Jeremiah, it says our heart is deceivingly wicked. So if God only promised to give you what you want in your heart and what you like, you'll end up having a blessing that's a burden. So what he has to do is he has to reform our desires and reform our will so that we then can pray in alignment with his word. And we have scripture in 1 John chapter 5 that says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, not he might think about it, but he said he'll do it. So this is what we have to do, and this is why we prepare ourselves at the top of the year through a season of prayer. He's going to reshape your will so you can get the answers to things you pray about, all because he loves you. God loves you too much to let you have your plan come to pass. Oh snap. God loves you too much to let your plans happen. Ooh, I want to thank God for the closed door. Yes, sir. I want to thank God for the rejection. I want to thank God for every person who didn't believe. I want to thank God for every person who said it wouldn't happen. I want to thank God for the things that didn't go my way. I want to thank God for the disappointment. Oh, sometimes I got to thank him for the no. I got to thank him for the not yet, because he has something bigger. He has something better. This year, when I didn't know what the next move was for this church and I just walked by faith and said, I'm starting in scratch, what God wanted me to lease, he already had in his plan for me to own. Come on, somebody. Get so dejected when stuff don't go our way. But you got to understand that he loves us. And I'm learning the heart of the Father by now being a father. My son is blessed with his own playpen, aka me and my wife's home office. And sometimes for my son's protection, because right now he doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He has yet to understand the concept of gravity, electricity, poison, fire. You know, there's a certain thing he doesn't get just yet. And get this, he's not mature enough yet to understand, and I don't expect him to understand, but what I do expect is, son, I've got a place for you. I got a place for you. Now, it might seem confining because you can't do everything you want to do, but in that place, I've got everything you need in there to be taken care of, so that until you get to a point where you grow up and you mature enough to understand what things are and what things aren't, you won't hurt yourself, but you keep yourself right here, what I've already prepared for you. Man, I came to have church at the outlet this morning. Woo! Because 2022 for me was a year I quit playing small and timid. Because I realized I didn't call me to this. He called me to this. And if he called me to this, you can't say nothing about this. So my job, as he called me to this, is say what he says. And every single time I say what he says, I see what he told me to say. I walked into a room at our new campus and I said, this is going to be filled with food. I get a phone call from somebody from Costco and Walmart says, can we fill a place in your church with food? Listen, you don't need money. You need faith. You need to know how much God loves you. You need to stand strong in what he told you. You need to not give up. Today you all are invited into a 4.5 year celebration that was waiting to happen. Every single Sunday we set up, we were setting up for today. Every single week we made adjustments, we were making adjustments for today. Every single time we saved, we were saving for today. Why? Because God has a plan that is bigger. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think according to the power that's at work within you. What's the power that's at work within you? The love that you're unable to comprehend, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of how much he loves you. See, there's something on this ministry, and I'm not going to be quiet about what's on this church. My wife and I got to shouting Friday when we realized what we're walking in, church is bigger, more connected, had more resources, had more people around them, were nationally known on the microphone, had it all, but they... I'm going to get saved in 23. New Year's resolution. But that the Lord wanted the outlet so that when we look around, we can't take credit for all this, but we point people back to him. That's a gift of faith that's triggered by, God, you love us. God, you love us. See, the Lord was hiding the outlet. Because sometimes when people know the extents and the depth of who you are, you would intimidate them before they get you to where they need to get you. So sometimes God hides you so that on the outside you look smaller than what you really do. But God said in Romans 8:31, if God be for you, who or what can be against you? In the Old Testament, they said it's only a little small army that's coming to see us. And when they went back to see it, oh no, it's not a small army. We see angels with them at their back. And so sometimes you despise your small beginnings, but God needs you to stay small because that's where others are. So God has to get you in a door, because sometimes there's certain entrances that need you to bow down to walk in. But when you get in the room, that's when God wants you to grow up. See, because it takes faith, but even in taking faith, still man has to be obedient. God could be talking to people all day long about what to do on your behalf, and until they obey, your blessing is delayed. After a period of time, what happens is God moves his instruction from that person that was supposed to obey, and then he finds someone else who will obey, because his plan, even though it might be delayed, it'll never be denied. And then you'll get back pay for what you were supposed to get at the time you were supposed to get it. Hebrews 10:35, it says, don't cast away your confidence, for it has great recompense for reward. So I don't care what happened to you. The word recompense means reimbursement for expenses incurred on the job. Where I should be, what I should be doing, how I should be living, how I should be walking, even if somebody disobeyed, even if somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do, God is tallying up all the expenses of you staying under his hand, in his will, what you're supposed to do. And then it looks like it happened overnight, but that was what you were supposed to be doing all along. But here's why we have to stay in love. Because when you obey, you get the blessing of seeing the fruit of what you acted in obedience for. So you don't want to be the one where God removes the assignment to someone else who will obey, because then you rob yourself of your future and your legacy. But the will of God's gonna get established. The will of God is gonna get done. You're gonna be with the right person. See, you don't. There's not just one person, and I'm talking to the unmarried people here. There's not just one person for you. But the folk that jacked up, they missed out. But God's plan for your life will not be denied. They just don't get the blessing that you bring to the equation because their capacity couldn't facilitate it. So every person that said goodbye, you need to turn around and say thank you. And for all the people that you had to say goodbye to, you need to thank them for having to say goodbye to them, because they limited where you were going. Don't be walking around this holiday season saying, wish I had a boo. Save that money. It's expensive. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good today. Feeling real good today. In the words of Andre 3000, the South got something to say. The outlet got something. I got something to say. So flourishing faith is developed in love. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. All right. Something different is on this ministry. And I know it. I sense it. I see it. And it's because the members have bought in. It's because the leaders have bought in. And, I'm going through the grief of growth. All right, people always want to grow. They want to expand. They want to get bigger, but they don't talk about the grief of growth. The grief of growth is when you really enjoy everything you do, but because of the size of what you're doing, you can no longer do it. I used to be able to do everything in this church. Everything, whatever needed to be done, I used to be able to do it. The church is too big, my time is too small, the stakes are too high, and so I have to trust the leaders that are in place to do what they're in place to do, and they are doing it extremely well. And so now, my wife and I are the lead pastors in the job. I guess it calls you to give vision and preach and all that stuff, because that's what you can do. But I miss doing all the stuff that I used to do. But I'm excited at the same time, because now I'm watching people who would shy away from opportunities. People that said, oh no, not me, go find someone else. They step up and said, all right, we got it. We're gonna handle it. We're gonna take care of it. I got it. Don't worry about it. We'll give you a report. It's beautiful. But I know that this church has to go even further, which means that the members who've been around a while and those who've been serving around a while, you can't get so caught up in how close I am to the pastor before you go out and do what God called you to do. Listen, I ain't gonna be able to go to everybody's house no more. I'm just not. I love you. I would like to come to your house. I would. I can't. I will, but I just can't do it every week. See, we got to be able to be a church that even if I'm not the one that's standing up here ministering, there's no drop off of quality. Because I want to go on vacation too. At some point, I'm going to take 8 weeks off. And I ain't going to think about the church. I'm going to be somewhere with my taco meat out, having the time of my life with my wife. And then we'll come back and pick up our son after he's been adequately rotated through all of his grandparents. Because I love my wife. I really enjoy her company. And I really want us to keep enjoying each other's company because, listen, I would give all this back if it meant I get to keep her because I like her. So I'm not going to be burned out. I'm going to trust. And if I can't trust, there are many other churches in anyway. I need to be able to trust. And I'm going to trust. I'm not going to be one of them leaders that, I don't have time. That's too much stress. I want to trust. Amen. All right, 2 Thessalonians 1. Let me land this plane here. Yes, I want to say this. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing. Someone say and type in flourishing. And watch this. Your love for one another is growing. Is that the infamous Ethernet popping? Oh, don't know? Okay. All right, if there's nothing else you got from today's message, I want you to listen and write this statement down, this connection between faith and love. Offense develops a hesitancy that prevents you from obeying God instantly. Offense develops a hesitancy that prevents you from obeying God instantly. I'm going to say that one more time. Offense, when you offend it in your feelings, I ain't dealing with, I don't like, it develops a hesitancy that prevents you from obeying God instantly. All right? So when you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit, God is not going to tell you at 4:51, I am going to come to you. And I am going to tell you to say these words to this individual. It is just going to happen. And if your heart is so weighed down with unforgiveness, strife, envy, offense, instead of obeying, you're going to be judging what God is saying. Should I really? Do you really want me to? Did I need to? Them? Maybe I'm... This is why Satan tries to get us to be at odds with each other because he wants to stop your ability to hear from God clearly. That is the goal of offense. Because if he can get you to question God's voice, then you'll start living a life of partial obedience. All right, that's why offense is known as the bait of Satan. It's not about the person that offended you. It's about the clarity and the capacity of your heart that you thinking about what they did to you is taken up. And it's hindering your ability to flow in the Holy Ghost. Not too long ago, there was a person giving me grief. Lord have mercy, grief. And I just heard in my heart just this compassion that came over me because I saw that person starving. And my flesh said, let them starve. My spirit said, buy them a meal. Just for them. Meal might have been maybe $9.79. But I felt that tug, and because none of us really want to say I'm offended with somebody, because we're full of faith and love all the time. We're not offended or holding unforgiveness with anybody. That's the other people. No. You take enough shots. They're going to realize you saved, not soft. But what happens is, it's contaminating this, which is your battery, to operating in the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so I knew when I felt it, I said, okay, Vince, you need to check your feelings at the door, albeit justifiable. Check it. And I obeyed. And what happened was, the moment I obeyed, I felt my heart soften. When I presented the meal to the individual, it looked like, as the word said, you heap coals of hot fire on their head, because they never would have expected. I would have thought for them after all they had done. That is the mark of maturity as a Christian. After 5 years, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and we'll end with this today. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians because it had been 5 years from the time that he planted Corinthians, the church of Corinth, to when he's writing this letter. And earlier in Corinthians, he said, I want to give you the steak, but y'all are so childish when you should be grown. Well, we see in 1 Corinthians 13, for later reference, write down 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. The proof of growth is your ability to love in spite of. So I'm challenging the outlet, because get this, you're about to walk into a season where all your preferences might not be considered every day. We're going to grow, aren't we? God never called me to have a mom and pop church. Never. Ever. And I accepted the call before I knew what that price meant. If it's all about you, you're childish. You're selfish. And you need to grow up. We have to now think of God. He's going to take care of us. So how can I be a blessing to others? That's the mark of maturity. Amen. Let's stand to our feet today.